You're listening to WDOT Port Washington. This is a WDOT special on public affairs, and we will be discussing technology in schools. All right, so we're going to talk about MP3 players first. MP3 player use in class is a controversial topic here at Schreiber. Students are often reprimanded for listening to their MP3 players in school and during class. This is viewed by many as an escape tactic that distracts students from taking in important information during class. However, some students are accustomed to listening to music at home while studying and doing homework, and may argue that their MP3 players are an integral part of their learning process. The debate over iPods in school has intensified since some teachers have recognized iPods as a helpful study tool and allow students to listen to them during class, and the school library has decided to permit use of iPods. Today we're going to hear both sides of this issue. Here are Robbie and Peter with their opinions.
All right, Robbie. I think I'm going to start, Robbie.
I'm going first now? All right.
No, I'm going first. All right, this is Peter Daskus, and I have the, I'm going to show you why iPods and MP3 players, MP3 players are necessary in schools. They prevent disruptions. Usually in the libraries and stuff where fights and things can happen. If kids are listening to their iPods and fights don't happen because they're listening and not fighting. They assist concentration of students during study time, prevents distractions of other things. Sometimes it calms students, preventing aggression, refer to number one, and it aids learning. They also give students something to do during downtime instead of something that would hurt their educational value. MP3 players allow students to express their individuality and personality, and they can help make friends. You share headphones, discover a common bond between music, between two strangers. Some teachers, as Mallory cited, have acknowledged the use of iPods that help studying by using a teacher-recorded podcast playing on MP3 players for students to review. And an example, if a professor speaks too fast, a recorded podcast can be rewound and used for study techniques. Audiobooks like textbooks and plays used in classes can be used to promote educational policies, and recorded lessons can be shared with students that are absent instead of sometimes unreliable notes. And obviously, podcast lessons are much more accurate than notes because you get every single word of the professor. Robbie, anything to rebut?
Plenty. First off, a lot of teachers actually get bothered that students might be too distracted and they're unable to listen to them while they are doing their lesson in class. Also, students might download pornography and inappropriate media and bring them to school, and, you know, the school doesn't like that too much. And also, they can be used for a tool for cheating, actually. Teachers have overheard students planning to download formulas for math exams and things like that. And iPods are also a huge target for theft. It's happened plenty, and educators are concerned that students become isolated and antisocial. Instead of tuning into other people, they are left tuned into themselves. Students can become so engrossed in listening to music that they may completely tune out on what is going on around them, causing unnecessary mishaps. Students also might be playing their music too loud and could damage their ears and hearing. And yeah, I'm done.
Clay. Well, I would like to recite a couple of quotes that I have from various students and administrators, teachers, secretaries around the school that I acquired. Priyanka Sawani says, "I believe the school's policy on MP3 players is absolutely obscene, and moreover, it strips students of their right to self-expression." John O'Reilly says, "It's great," with three R's.
What a great quote.
Thanks. Another student says, "The music tunes out distractions like people around you, therefore allowing you to concentrate and focus more than when you can without music." Mrs. Balaban, the secretary in the main office, says, "It's fine as long as they're used where phones are allowed." And Mrs. Seligman, the ever-popular librarian, says, "Music helps students block out external distractions, and that is why MP3 players are allowed in the library." And finally, our own host, Mally Weber, says, "People don't talk as much when they're listening to the MP3 players, so I think it's a good thing." I think that's rather loner-ish, but,
and
I mean, I appreciate it. Thanks, Mal.
Don't use full names from now on in your interviews.
Sorry, my bad.
Please leave all last names out of our interviews for news purposes
that you could use it as long as you're bad naming.
I have a Fricaro saying that MP3s are not good for school.
He just said don't use last names.
He didn't say a first name. Don't use complete names.
Alright, and he says they're a target for theft, and that's why he doesn't bring his to school.
That makes sense.
And Miss Balaban, she actually told me that MP3s are safety hazards and you can't talk or pay attention to anyone. Yeah, it's true. It's all true, I'm telling you. And Miss Siegelman, the librarian, says that kids don't realize how loud.
You mean Seligman?
Yeah, that's what I just said. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotta get the names right.
I said that.
Sure you did.
And she says that kids don't realize how loud you start to talk to with them, and after a while it builds up, and the library gets very noisy, and people can't concentrate as well, and she says there's a time and place for everything.
All right, and here's everyone else with their opinions on cell phone use.
Dan Miller. What do you think, Dan Miller?
I like to listen to my music while I study, but, I mean, I usually do listen to it in class anyway. It's not, it doesn't. Yeah.
In class?
Yep.
Wow.
I listen to it
when I'm... You had a cause over here.
I listen to it when I'm walking in the hall, when I'm in the library.
But do you... Tell me this. Do you have both earphones in all the time, or just one sometimes?
Not both. Usually just one. Like, the other day, I was in...
So if someone's screaming fire, you could hear them and potentially get out of the building?
Definitely.
Right, so...
Because you can't hear them as well.
That's always a safety concern.
You can still hear them.
Can I please say something? Hold on. I just wanted to say that... The music actually really enhanced my global experience the other day.
Oh, clap, put me on.
You're on.
Yeah. You're on.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Say something. Let's hear it, Con.
Oh, no, I just... the music really enhanced my global experience the first 5 minutes of class the other day. It was really epic.
Yeah. Well, my input on having iPods in school is I think that you should have you could listen to your iPod anywhere in the school besides when you're in the class actually learning, because if... Yes... You have a chance of getting stolen, but that's on you. It's not on the school or anything. So, I mean, maybe someone signed something saying the school's not responsible or something. But I think you should get to have your iPod wherever you are besides the classroom. Anyone else?
Oh. May I say something?
Yes.
I've also heard that I went to camp, and my teacher was one of my counselors, and he said in the South, some people actually listen to their iPods while in tests. While in tests, they were listening to their iPods, and the teachers would just go around and say, may I listen to what you're listening to make sure they don't cheat. It helps students sometimes do better on tests.
Can you please further explain how your teacher was your counselor?
In camp, you know teachers have second jobs? They can have second jobs as counselors.
Was it your
All right,
teacher?
Let's not get off topic here. Eddie Chang, sitting very quietly there. I'm very interested to know what your opinion is on the matter.
I was just going to ask, Pete, how you can defend using MP3 players during tests. If it's bound to...
It's Logan, not me.
Or Logan. How do you explain using iPods during, or MP3 players, rather, in during tests, if it's going to bother other students while they're taking tests?
If you have it on a low enough volume, then the other people won't be able to hear it. And if it's so high, then the teachers would take it away.
And how do you not know that some student will be using a certain program on their computer so that they can record all the answers on the MP3 players and then put them in their MP3 players, and then while they're listening, they're taking the test and they're cheating?
That's the point of the teacher going around and saying,
don't students deceive their teachers all the time?
You can always change a song before the teacher comes around.
What about
the exactly.
kids that can't afford iPods and it's kind of unfair?
Can't roam without a Caesar. You can't roam.
All right, well, we're going to switch gears now because we don't want to run out of time. We have a lot more to get to, so here's Mal.
All right, good discussion. Now we're going to talk about cell phones. Cell phones are a huge issue at Shriver, and for some teachers, a relentless source of frustration. Students are constantly being reprimanded for texting in class and for making or receiving calls in classrooms and in hallways. Teachers and administrators are fighting a constant battle against cell phone use, and it sometimes seems that they may be losing, which begs the question, Is it time to accept the fact that cell phones have become such an embedded part of society that we can no longer control students' use of them in school? Should students control themselves, or should the staff loosen up? Here's Eddie and Dan on cell phone use.
Thanks, Mal. I'll be going first today with cell phones. We'll be looking at the positive side. See, now, cell phones, as a matter of fact, can be used in a positive way in school. Many people think that they are distraction in classes, which I do think can, which I'm not saying is wrong. They can be. But in school, they are not. If people were to use these devices for the many aspects that they offer, it could be better. Think about all the things that these cell phones or portable devices offer. They are portable communicators for emergencies that you can call your family, 911, or just for any social reasons. As well, they are a way to get great information at your fingertips. I do understand why my teachers see this as a distraction for texting or something of that sort. If students could use them in a positive way, just like for quick on-the-spot information, just for about anything. When walking or have time, cell phones can often be used as a music device. There also are ways that you can get onto the internet besides, unlike a computer, if needed. These reasons are the great reasons why cell phones are okay in school. Now we're gonna go over to Eddie Chang.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna present the con side of using cell phones. Cell phone usage in school today constitutes a very controversial issue. In this digital age where information rules supreme in the modern society, a mobile communication device seems invaluable. It conveniently allows for people to stay in touch with each other, regardless of how far they are apart. However, in the recent times, we've seen a tremendous amount of addiction to the cellular device. This device, meant to help us become more mobile and global, has actually led to injuries and even deaths in some cases because of their usages. Keeping in mind that many Schreiber upperclassmen drive before, during, and after school, deaths from car accidents due to the uses of cell phones have been greatly increasing. And there have been stunningly high percentage of car accidents occurring because of texting while driving as well. The most prevalent usage of cell phones have been seen with the adolescents of Schreiber. All teachers who I've interviewed at Schreiber agree that they see students use their cell phones at least 3 times per class. Some teachers believe that the frequent usage of cell phones shows symptoms of falling grades. One teacher states that she has seen students use cell phones almost chronically. 75% of the teachers agree that cell phones do impede the learning process for students in the classrooms. So what is it about this recent surge of addiction to cell phones? Sure, they might be useful for keeping in contact, whether it be getting together with friends or in times of emergency. However, the overusage of cell phones, even in classrooms, and an overdependence upon these devices display another place for which teens are often generalized to be irresponsible. The usage of cell phones can be greatly beneficial, if used in the right way. However, because the only regulation one can put on the usage of cell phones is only upon the responsibility of the person using the cell phone, it must be that school administrators and teachers must make sure that cell phones are not used in classrooms.
Eddie, I picked up during that you're talking about driving and cell phones. We're talking about school, and they're going to drive with cell phones anyway. I mean, they could prevent that themselves, but them driving with cell phones to school is not the topic of school.
Keeping in mind that a lot of the students drive, a lot of the Schreiber students do drive, it is probably, I'm just mentioning the statistics that the usage of cell phones in general, not just in school.
Yeah, that's in general of everyone. That's not just damage. Students.
And also, I also stated clearly that the cell phones do impede the learning process in classrooms.
But yes, in classes maybe.
And
but
the mission
what about
of the school, is to protect and educate the students. And obviously, if it does impede this, the learning process, it is up to the school administrators to take them away.
But what about in school, besides classes? What about in the cafeteria and in the other parts of the school to good use?
Yes, but I agree if it's used in the right way. But again, there are a lot of students who use them during the classes while the teachers are teaching. And I'm sure if you ask many of the teachers, they would say that it is not only rude for them, but it would also distract many other students along with the student who's using the cell phone.
I do agree with you on the class part, but not on the overall school part because in school,
I didn't mention anything about the school part, did I?
But we're talking about the school part.
No, but I only mentioned most of the classrooms.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay. Open
Guys, I have a question for you. You were both talking about the difference between using cell phones in the classrooms and outside of the classrooms, but still in school. Do you think that it's at all detrimental to students who, even on their off periods or even in the library or the cafeteria, instead of actually conversing with their fellow students and their friends, are texting other people? And, you know, also that's even time that they could be using it to have to go to the resource room and meet with their teachers or even communicate with each other, and it could be really detrimental to their communication skills. Do you guys have any comments on that?
Yes, here's my take on the subject. As long as the cell phones do not impede the learning process, whether it be in the classroom or in the library or bothering any other students in the hallways, then yes, it is okay. But however, if it does somehow disturb the classrooms while you're walking by and you're in the hallway and you're using the cell phones and you're too loud and you're disrupting the classes while they may be taking tests or they may be doing some activities, then it is therefore up to the school administrators to take the cell phone away if the cell phones do impede the learning process. Is again.
All right. Do any of our other DJs have comments on this? It looks like
no.
Okay.
I think when it comes to school and, like, for teachers must hate cell phones because I have to admit it is kind of rude when you're on your cell phone in class, but besides school, I think cell phones are necessities now for kids, so
I changed my mind. I actually do have something
to
say.
What
is it
to say, Mr. DJ?
Well, they say that students in class who are using their cell phones show a decrease in learning, but sometimes students learn by what they're doing at that moment. So if
the main question is, are they learning from the use of the cell phone? Because if they're looking at Wikipedia and learning a different subject, or are they learning what the teacher is teaching
them? Well, maybe I'm texting my friend Eric, and at the same time, my teacher is teaching me about World War II. And I remember that specific fact because I remember that while that was being taught, I was texting Eric.
But clearly, statistics have shown that cell phones do not do the same thing that you have just stated. And you can't clearly make
I'd like to accurate. See your statistics.
Yes, I do have statistics. If you would like to see them, come to the radio office right now and see them.
I'm right there.
let's fight!
Let's see some stats, Chang. Can I say something? Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
I'd like to say that I think cell phones are a potential hazard in school, unlike MP3 players, but they're bad. Go ahead, Chang.
Rumble 4:30.
All right. I think we're going to move on now. Next, we're going to hear from Logan and Eric about the topic of internet censorship in schools. Anyone who has used Portnet has probably encountered a blocked website at some point in their lives. Websites are censored for a number of reasons, two of which are gaming and sports-related content, which Logan and Eric will discuss. Many people argue the censorship policy on the grounds that it is too strict and is the responsibility of the student to use their own discretion in what content to view in school. Another group supports the censorship, viewing it as necessary protection for youth, and believe the policy will ultimately benefit students and promote a distraction-free learning environment. Logan and Eric will now discuss these issues.
Mallory, am I on?
Yes.
Okay. I think having gaming websites in school is a very bad idea because kids will be tempted to play them during the classes that have computers, such as radio. And this will interfere with the learning which all of our taxes are paying for, and will eventually create a dumb generation because instead of learning important knowledge, all of these kids will be playing these mindless games. Well, I also have one on sports websites, unless... All right. And also, sports websites should be taken out of the school system as well, because it, like gaming websites, distracts students from learning. Kids aren't the only ones who like sports. I'm sure many teachers in this building would like to know the scores of their favorite teams, but they don't because they have an obligation to teach. Kids also have an obligation to learn what their teachers are teaching them.
All right, I think that the gaming process, I don't think we should block any gaming process because I think it's the kids' own choice to choose games over work. It's their own thing and it's their own choice. And also, I think that the sports websites agreed with Ashinsky that most teachers and most students would want to see the sports like NCAA March Madness scores because they want to see what's happening in the world. And also, I think that let's see, the sports in March Madness, I think it's very important for people to see, and it's otherwise more, like, distracted if they are not able to see it because they'll just keep whining about it in class and just arguing about it, and we wouldn't know anything. So, I mean, and the gaming websites, it's just the kids have a responsibility, and they have to learn responsibility by high school. So, I mean, you can't really say anything. Like, you can't stop them for doing stuff. They have to learn responsibility. So, I don't think they should be blocked. And that's it.
Do any of the other DJs want to comment on that?
Yes. How?
Am I on?
Yes.
No. How is the March Madness important to students?
Well, March Madness is important to students because they want to see the scores, and if they see the scores, they may be able to listen in class. They'll maybe be able to listen in class because they won't be arguing about who they think is winning, or if they want to see the scores, they're complaining during class all the time.
But are the students learning anything from watching the games on the computers?
Hand-eye
coordination. Students are in school to learn, not to watch sports games.
No, he's claiming that that as soon as they know the scores, they will be quiet and be attentive and they will listen to the lesson. However, I don't think that's true because they're just going to argue about the next round and they're going to complain about, oh, this team lost. Oh, I just lost like $10.
I don't think there really is any.
I don't think gambling's allowed.
Yeah, it's not. It's not.
Can you turn me on?
You're on.
Logan.
Yes.
Why can't they check the scores when they get home from school?
Because they'll keep complaining. There's no way to really solve this problem.
How does that make sense?
What is the problem?
The problem is, well, there is a problem, obviously, because we're arguing about it. The problem is that we are going, March Madness, if you don't see the scores, the kids will be complaining about how the superintendent and the principals are not putting on the scores. And if they do have the scores, they'll talk about the scores. So there really is no
complaining about the scores. And it was you.
And clearly you're making a wrong point because you're arguing that productivity of the students would increase by watching these games.
I never said watching.
Hold on. Can I interject with a question, please? We're talking about censorship in schools. What about on off periods when students are free to do whatever they want? They're in the library and they're on a computer.
They're not meant for basketball. They're meant for to do work.
They're not meant to be used just for playing games.
I'm Eddie Chang. I don't like fun.
Computers too. When we get enough computers and when we get enough resources for people to do work and not in the cafeteria, then we will be focusing on our work. I mean, that's what you're saying, right? Everyone should be doing their work during the off period.
So out of the student body, what percentage is obsessed with March Madness?
Logan percent.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Peter. I don't know. There is a lot of students, though. I don't know the percentage because I was not able to count every single person in the school.
How would you argue that playing games during your off periods or in school any time would be beneficial?
We play Spanish Scrabble.
I think by high school you should learn responsibility and that you should learn what to do right and wrong. The high school is supposed to be your step towards college, which is trying to learn to go be by yourself and go be responsible. So I think they should be able to choose whatever path they're going to take.
And shouldn't maybe this is a freedom of speech issue too? Aren't students entitled to have freedom of movement and freedom of speech to do what they want to? Or should we limit that because we're in a school? Eddie Chang!
Absolutely not, because we're in a school and schools obviously take your rights away.
So you're saying that all students, freedom of speech-wise, movement-wise, should not have any rights?
The Supreme Court has proven that it is on my side.
And cite your cases.
TLO.
That's a search and seizure. That's the Fourth Amendment, not the First Amendment.
The no-fun case and all of 1997.
I can't name him right now, but the Supreme Court had ruled that previously that school administrators have more rights and school has the right to
do a set of guidelines.
Hold on. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back after these words.
When I do it, I feel the blood rushing through me, and I keep going back for more.
Carmen Castillo is under the influence of Dana, her volunteer trainer.
Tuck your chain, Carmen.
By spending just one day a week with kids like Carmen, Dana helps them develop interests that keep them away from drugs. Be a coach, a mentor, a volunteer, because you have something to offer. Log on to helpyourcommunity.org or call 877-KIDS-313. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Everybody knows that I'm this boy of the town. Hi, this is Phil Oakes. Ever since the assassination of John Kennedy, things began to fall apart in this country. People started caring less for each other and thought less of themselves. Some tried to escape as we suffered through two reactionary administrations. The war in Vietnam and the use of hard drugs have taken many lives. Now the war is over, but drugs continue their destruction. I believe it's time to turn the corner. We can get America back if we get ourselves back. You don't need drugs. You don't need gurus. You only need to believe in yourself. Remember, it only takes a small circle of friends to get back to a life based on reality rather than escape.
All right. Thank you, Phil Oakes, from 1973, Don't Do Drugs, in 1973 and 2009. We turn it back now to DJ Mal.
Hi. You're listening to WDUT Port Washington, and this is our public affairs special, and we're discussing technology in schools. So we've already discussed cell phones, censorship, and iPods, and now we're going to talk about Facebook. For those of you listeners who don't know about Facebook, if there are any out there, it's an online social networking phenomenon, and not only is it widespread amongst adults in various professional fields, but it is also a huge part of the lives of Schreiber students. Students use Facebook to communicate and connect with classmates, as well as to coordinate in-school events, clubs, and sports teams. It is even used by college admissions to get an idea about the character of potential students. Surprisingly, this website, which is an extremely prominent part of Schreiber students' lives, is banned from school computers. While some agree with this decision, seeing it as a distraction that should only be allowed outside of school, others refute it, seeing Facebook as a valuable tool for students and feel students should be allowed to use it with their own discretion, even in schools. Here's Dan Miller and Andrew Arnstein on Facebook in schools.
So as Mal said, Facebook is a social networking site used by many members of the Schreiber community, students, and faculty. This site, in addition to many others, is blocked on the Schreiber network.
There are many reasons behind this decision. The administration, being responsible for students who are under the age of 18, has to act in local parenting during school hours. This means picking the best choices for the students. Without school input, the internet is unfiltered. Mr. Balin, head of technology for the district, says that part of our concern is the safety of our students.
All over the net, there are inappropriate websites, such as those which portray violence, pornography, and cyberbullying. Sites such as Facebook seldom control these. Mr. Balin added, very often, things are posted on Facebook that may be very revealing personally. The administration wants the students to feel that school is a place of comfort, a safe haven.
Yeah, so some social networking sites and blogs have been used to help the student body. Our student-teacher talent show, Coffee House, Spirit Week, and many clubs are organized through Facebook, and the mysterious Pip blog adds, aids many students with the what's happening around Schreiber. Sadly, administration believes the risks outweigh the possibility of the benefits, and sites which could be potentially helpful to us are blocked in the school.
Personally, I think having these sites allowed in schools would be wrong. Many students would be distracted from their work. In the library, which is supposed to be a place where we can all, you know, work on a project, finish something right before class, or, you know, get stuff done, there's usually a lack of computers there already. Adding these sites to the school network would mean more students would want to be in the lab, but they would not be doing work.
You know, Dan, I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. Facebook is a great way for people to be social. Without having to say much, we are able to get an insight into who people are. It's also a great thing for kids who have trouble socializing in person, or for kids who don't share off periods with their partners for a project. Most kids check Facebook before their email, and some have Facebook alerts sent to their phone, and this would be perfect if you didn't want to give someone your phone number, but needed to communicate with them.
What about the kids without the projects? What about the kids who just need to get their work done because they're failing every class? They finally get to the computer where they might have a chance to bring that F to a D, and now you're giving them Facebook? It's just another distraction.
Yeah, but what about those kids who aren't failing, the ones who actually try hard and do well in school? Could Facebook be used as a reward?
Schreiber has equal student rights, so that probably wouldn't fly. But most Schreiber students even believe that while it would be cool to have Facebook available, it's just too distracting. Sophomore Jamie believes that most kids can't stop, and junior Sarah openly admits that she would go on it instead of doing work.
Yeah, junior Emma says, if we have nothing else to do, what should we allow to use Facebook? Because there's only so much we can do that is available. Junior Megan believes that there should be a time limit. Sophomore Mr. Addis thinks that men should have it, girls shouldn't, suggesting that women are more prone to Facebook obsession. Sophomore Hawk Mr. Hawk says it doesn't matter to him, further proving Al's hypothesis. Dean adds his two cents in saying that it is pointless, but if you have the time, go for it.
Although women may be more attached to their Facebooks, this is completely unproven, the school cannot prohibit anything but a bathroom to a member of the opposite sex. Facebook should not be allowed in schools to ensure that the computers are available to students who need to do their work.
They haven't blocked our phone networks, have they?
Not in the cafeteria.
Then if I really need to, I can check my Facebook and my phone, correct?
That you can.
Alright, well that sounds good.
So, in your guys' minds around the round table of thought, is Facebook a good thing or a bad thing?
I think
anyone could hop on.
I think it's a good thing at home, but it's a bad thing in school.
Thanks, Logan.
Elaborate with that.
I'm allowed to take a long pause. And I think that as most people said with me, that it's a distraction in school because Facebook has nothing to do with school activities or anything, so I think that it would just be a distraction for most classmates. And, like Dan said, you can use your phone network in cafeteria. If you can use your phone in the cafeteria to look on Facebook, then you can look on in classes, so that would be distracting to most students. But at home, it's a good thing because you can talk to other people from, like, other places throughout the world.
Well, I'm going to say something now.
Go ahead, Peter.
I enjoy Facebook myself, but in school, it would be way too much of a distraction. I like to get my work done during off periods because it takes me a while to get home after practice. I get home, I'm tired. I don't really want to do work, so I want to be finished, and having Facebook in school would just be a complete distraction. I wouldn't be able to get anything done.
You play golf and you're tired.
Do you guys believe that if Facebook were to be allowed, let's say in the social studies office, the library, wherever there are computers, do you feel that students would be on it the entire school day? Is it that popular of a site? I mean, we explain it to those in our listening audience, perhaps who are older and don't utilize Facebook or MySpace or one of those pages.
Not as popular. I mean, not the most popular, but there'd surely be. That's three shures.
Four shures?
Okay. Five. Okay. So there'd definitely be a lot of kids who wouldn't be doing work and would just be there for the Facebook.
I think that it is true. I do agree with Dan that it would just be for the Facebook, but at some point I think they would get bored of Facebook. Just looking on Facebook every day would be just a little boring. So I think texting would be more of a,
Kids do look at Facebook every day.
Yeah, but not during classes. I think they would get a lot.
Many kids
really
do it
bored.
During classes.
Well, you can't get Facebook on classes because it's blocked now.
Not right. On the telephone.
I think the reason Facebook should not be blocked in the school is kids have off periods, and it's called an off period because you don't have class. So if you don't have class, it's your option if you want to go utilize your time and go do work, or you want to go play games and go on your Facebook or whatever. And yes, I do understand that it could be dangerous, like cyberly, but I don't think that, I think that in computer labs, Facebook can be opened. So, yeah.
All right, well, what about what Mr. Balin was talking about? There's a lot of content on Facebook that probably I'm thinking is inappropriate. And if teachers walk by or whatnot, there are things in your private life that I'm assuming that you're not going to want in the public sphere. And this is indeed a school. So is censorship necessarily a bad thing in this case?
No, it's not.
No. Giving us, you know, the ability, like, leaving us without Facebook at schools continues our uncensorship of our lives, our not-censorshipped lives. Because I know there's a lot of pictures that students wouldn't want their teachers to walk by their monitor and see, you know, such as kids making a fire or drinking apple juice, you know, those kind of things.
Well, we don't want to speculate anything about arson or apple juice here. But your point is well taken. That it could open up absolutely a can of worms of types of behaviors that you wouldn't want. You know, does a principal have a right to put you into the tank for something that comes up on Facebook? It really opens up a can of worms of, you know, if you're mouthing off to a friend about some faculty member or teacher, you know, something that you wouldn't do here, but it's on, you know, once it's in cyberspace, does it become fair game? So these are issues that Mr. Balin's talking about that we really don't want to have, so by putting a block on Facebook, it may kind of resolve that.
Alright, I have a question for you guys. I know that I use Facebook to get information about sports events and clubs, and do you guys recognize it? Even if you don't necessarily agree with its uses in school, do you recognize its value for students getting information about school-related events?
Every yes. day of Spirit Week, I found out what to wear through a Facebook message. I would have no idea. I'd get a message every day from senior Mr. Nash, and he'd let me know what to wear. And I think it went out to the whole Schreiber network, if you were in the group. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All right, so do you guys have any general comments about, like, technology in schools unrelated to this? Unrelated to any of the topics we talked about so far?
I think... I know why teachers would get annoyed and faculty would get annoyed, but I think they have to realize it's, like, a new day and age, and... technology is like, it's like now part, it's how we're grown up. They were grown up differently, but like, I'm not trying to say in like a spoiled way or anything, but this is the way we're growing up with cell phones, iPods, and all that stuff.
The night is darkest just before the dawn.
Well, is this type of society better than what your parents grew up with? Is a technologically advanced society, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, some cases good and some cases bad.
What do you mean, Logan?
Well, as you said before, it's a lot easier to talk to people in technology today. I mean, you can talk now to people in San Francisco in 2 seconds. But back when our parents were growing up, which they still did have cell phones, but it was much harder for them to get in touch.
Your parents didn't have cell phones.
Well,
believe it or not, your parents did not have cell phones when they were your age.
Well, not our age yet.
Unless,
but,
well, your parents are 16. I don't know.
And they might have. I think my parents are somewhat young, so.
Maybe they did. But the cell phone, yeah. Did. But even when the cell phone came out, it's such a different, you know, people just actually use them to make phone calls.
And there were no picture messages, and there were no stuff. There was no, like things that can really hurt someone's feelings because you're just talking on the phone. But also, like, technology today has brought us to, like, bad pictures on Facebook, as Mr. Claff said, and that would be a bad thing, and that would hurt someone's feelings a lot, and it would bring up conflict, which is much easier to fight about.
All right, so, you know, wrapping it up, it seems like we've all had this debate over basically whether technology in school should be viewed as, like, a necessary thing because it is a major way that students get information and maybe enhance their learning experience, but at the same time, we're kind of living in a society which we're so dependent on technology that our face-to-face contact is becoming so much of a less prominent part of our lives that people might actually be damaging their communication skills. So I think that we're all trying to find a balance in this day, I guess, and I think we're probably all in agreement about that. So does anyone have any parting words?
There was once a man. He had
Peace.
A plan.
Who won? That's a good question. Who won? Well, we don't really here to judge winners and losers, but I think we could all agree it was an interesting show with some probing questions asked. You've been listening to WDOT Port Washington. You're on the dot, and now we leave you with regular, scheduled programming.